How's the ankle, JB?
Damn it, John, you shouldn't have to walk on it. I should have strapped it up hours ago at the very least.
Sometimes we just can't do what we should.
Christy and Mildred exchanged glances. It was obvious that the armorer's injury was worse than he was letting on, and that could make things difficult if they were attacked by anyone or anything. Meanwhile, Ryan had told Dean and Jack of Christy's feeling, trying somehow to shout quietly. There was no way that he wanted Mac and his sec men to know at this stage that Christy had mutie traits. Chances were that they were muties themselves. Hell, it seemed obvious after their leap across the chasm. But people across Deathlands were suspicious of any mutie traits. Because of the very weather conditions that made him have to shout, his voice failed to carry back to Mac and the mute guards. They showed no interest in what he was saying, contenting themselves with a desultory glance around the swirling storm fog.
Maybe surprises for everyone.
Jack palmed one of the razor-sharp leaf-bladed knives from his patched jacket. Ryan hid his surprise behind an impassive mask, honed through years of experience. Dean didn't find it so easy, and his father looked back to see if his surprise had registered with their captors. It didn't seem to.
Hot pipe! How come they let you keep them?
Just take Blaster. Not bother search me.
Triple stoop bastards.
Guess they didn't expect you to conceal anything.
Not used to searching. Murphy's men were.
It was a good point. Ryan had become increasingly aware, as had Jack with his fighter's instincts, that their captors were used to a certain set of conditions and a certain set of enemies, used to them to the degree that they didn't expect anything outside of their limited experience. That could be good. If the chance came, Ryan felt sure that his people could take their attackers, despite the advantage they had of carrying blasters. Ryan, Dean, and Jack dropped back a little, until they were level with Christy, JB, and Mildred. Ryan viewed the armorer's stance with concern.
How bad is it?
Ugh.
No bullshit, JB. I think we can take them if the chance comes, so I need to know for sure.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
Might as well dump me now. Slows me up too much. I'm as much use as a fart in a methane tank.
Are you sure?
What the hell?
Dark Knight, what kind of mutie is that?
JB couldn't move as the creature rose out of the earth, showering dirt and dust that caught in the whirl of the storm and formed an almost opaque curtain around the rising shape.
Fire blast! Scatter!
Ryan shoved Dean away from him and fell in the opposite direction, temporarily blinded as specks of dust hit his good eye, making it sting and close in a mist of tears. He felt the earth beneath him as he hit, rippling with the disturbance of the uprising. He rolled, blinking and clawing at his eye to clear his vision. As he righted, it returned to him in a blurred and distorted form. He almost wished it hadn't. It was a lizard of some kind, hideously mutated and grossly enlarged. Its tail flicked out behind it as it emerged from its hiding place and looked around, the cold, blank eyes taking in the scene of confusion. Unblinking in the face of the storm, and protected by a thick yet transparent skin that covered the eyeball. Ryan estimated the creature to be about 20 feet in length, stretching up to 5.5 feet in height at the tip of its head. About half of the body length was in the tail, which flicked ominously behind. The bandy, scaled legs were planted firmly in the soft, freshly churned earth, sinking deep into the soil. Casting a glance behind him, Ryan could see that their captors had retreated several yards and were spreading out into a fan formation to try to deal with the creature from a variety of angles, spacing themselves so that it wouldn't be able to take more than one of them with the wickedly vicious tongue that now shot out toward Dean. Ryan watched helplessly, knowing that he wouldn't be close enough to help his son. The tongue, dripping venom, snaked out at an incredible speed. Dean was still on his butt, where he'd fallen when he was pushed by his father, as the lizard erupted from the earth.
Dean!
Dean pushed himself up with his feet, balancing by thrusting his arms behind him, scooting backward in an ungainly crab-like manner. It allowed him to get up enough speed to evade the tongue, which lashed at the earth. The lizard retracted its tongue. Ryan made it across to his son in a few strides, plucking at Dean's arm and helping the boy scramble to his feet. Father and son retreated a few more yards before taking shelter behind a pile of rocks and earth strewed about when the lizard erupted onto the surface.
Good evasive move. You're learning fast, son.
Either that or get chilled. But why aren't they trying to chill that thing?
Maybe they've just got to take their time. They must be used to them.
JB and Mildred dove to the ground and inched toward the scant cover offered by a few rocks. It wasn't much, but on the flat clay floor it was all they could do. JB eyed the fan formation adopted by the outsiders and also ran an appraising eye over the blasters before taking another look at the lizard.
They haven't got a hope.
What do you mean, John?
You see the scaling on that thing? It'll be like the armor on a war wag. Those homemade blasters are powerful, but they won't have the ammo to get through. Either ordinary lead or the collection of junk that goes in that giant bastard's blaster, not enough.
You're right. They need steel-tipped.
Or some good Plasex to pitch down its throat. None of the calibers will be strong enough, and the shotgun blast may itch it a little, but otherwise it'll just ricochet off.
Right. So heads down.
Mildred saw Todd draw a bead on the lizard. The giant leveled his blaster, then raised the barrel slightly, sighting along them to line himself with the lizard's head. It turned its eyes to him, impassive. He pressed the trigger. The lizard took the bucking recoil as though it were nothing more than a feather. The lizard raised its head, turning to one side so that the load of metal and scrap discharged by the homemade shotgun hit the scaly armored skin and flew off at a variety of angles, showering the ground around with hot metal. There was a very slight scorching on the scaled skin, but otherwise no damage.
Damn!
The lizard turned to Todd, flicking out its lengthy tongue. In order for him to get within a truly effective range, Todd had also moved within reach of the lizard's tongue. He was too stunned by the ineffectiveness of his blaster to move quickly, which was his downfall. The tongue whipped across the space between them, the venom hitting the giant before the tongue itself as droplets shot off the end, propelled by the speed at which the snaking pink rope moved. The venom hit him, eating like acid through his patched denims and dissolving his skin. One drop hit him below the left eye, stripping the skin away on his cheekbone, leaving raw and bloody flesh. The eyeball caught some of the vitriol and dissolved, the aqueous humor running down onto the exposed and bleeding mess of his cheek. Todd was pulled forward and onto his belly as the lizard began to retract its tongue, dragging him toward it, his legs kicking in the dust, arms flailing at the tongue that encircled his head.
Oh, God! Help me! Help me!
The fact that Todd was such a big man made the lizard slower than usual in retracting its tongue. Slow enough to allow Tilly to run at it, wielding one of her knives. Mac and the two mute sectmen covered her with blaster fire that pinged off the lizard's skin while they were insects buzzing against it. Tilly headed for the tongue, wrapped around Todd's head.
Fucking lizard! Let him go! Let him go!
She hacked at it with the knife, trying to free him, regardless of the fact that the acid had to have already brought him close to death, his arms and legs becoming feebler in their thrashing, regardless of the way that the venom ate into her own rags, scarring skin that was already raw and weeping from old burn wounds. The lizard made a rumbling sound in its throat and moved one large foot, the claw coming loose from the soil in a shower of dirt and dust. It was in pain, and concentrated entirely on that which was causing the pain, Tilly. Mac and the Sec-Men had no ideas on how to tackle the lizard. They just kept blasting ineffectively. But the fact that its attention was focused on the two human objects occupying its immense tongue meant that there was an opportunity for someone with a better idea to act, providing they could move swiftly. Like Jack. Ignoring the whining slugs from the Sec-Men's blasters as they rained around him in ricochet, the small and wiry albino took to his feet, running low to the ground and zigzagging to keep as much out of the lizard's eyeline as possible. Ideally, he would have run straight toward it, taking a path between the side-facing eyes and so hitting the creature in its blind spot.
Fucking bastard! Let him go!
Unfortunately, right in front of the lizard's nose was its acid venom tongue, wrapped around Todd's head. The creature's attention seemed focused on its tongue, and the irritation caused by Tilly screaming and trying to hack at the pink, thick, and veiny length with one of her knives. Her screams were part frustration and part pain as the acid venom ate through her rags and into her flesh. Todd had stopped moving. She was too late. He was already dead. The only thing that was keeping her going was frustration and hysteria. Meanwhile, the whirling dust had given Jack some cover from the creature, and now he had to hope that its attention didn't stray to the sides, At least not until he was underneath the body and into another blind spot.
Goddamn lizard! You fucking asshole!
Jack circled to the creature's left flank so that he was running parallel to and almost underneath its body. He could feel the coldness coming off the scaly skin. He bent as low as he could, coming up the side, boots slipping and sliding on the loose clods of earth and the powdery topsoil. Around on the left flank, Jack moved in closer to the drooping belly. His red eyes glittered with concentration as he took in the narrowing gap. It was about 12 inches. He was small and slight enough to make it without having to scrabble out some of the loose earth, and so alert the creature as to what was happening beneath it. Without hesitation, Jack sank onto his belly and snaked beneath the creature, slithering like its kind as he positioned himself between the belly of the lizard and the loose earth between its splayed feet. He turned as he moved beneath, coming out under the head of the beast on his back. Drops of saliva and tongue venom dripped around his head, but he didn't notice. If it fell on him, there was little he could do to prevent it. He accepted the risk with his usual unspoken fatalism. In the Deathlands, you either chilled or got chilled. There was no other choice. Free of the lizard's body, Jack was directly beneath the soft throat and jaw of the beast. He could feel rather than smell its fetid breath as it filled the air around him. Jack pulled his body upright, sitting beneath the throat of the lizard with his knees pulled up, ready to spring to his feet. He palmed one of his leaf-bladed knives. They were designed and honed for throwing, but were also useful in hand-to-hand combat. The razor-sharp edge should have just the cutting power he desired. Jack took a deep breath and rose to his feet beneath the creature, and before he was more than halfway up, he made the first sweeping incision in the soft scales that covered the gizzard. Even the softest parts of the muty lizard were tough, and Jack felt the resistance jar his arm as the knife bit into the scales. But with a little extra push, he penetrated the skin and felt the knife bite into soft flesh. He pulled across from left to right, feeling the flesh rip and tear as the point moved through the gizzard, the hilt of the knife left behind, following with just that slight degree of drag as it caught on the tougher skin. Blood started to drip from the wound, a shower that turned into a torrent as Jack hit an artery. The lizard released its tongue from around Todd. Beneath the lizard's slit throat, Jack was hit by a sheet of stinking hot blood that turned the ground beneath his feet into a mud bath. It covered him, plastering his hair to his head, staining him as red as his albino eyes. The lizard's tongue whipped through the air in a random series of jerks. Todd's corpse lay on the ground, the head giving off steam. All who were looking on were grateful that the storm could obscure their view to some degree, as the body seemed intact until their eyes reached his neck. There, any semblance to a human being ended. Strips of raw flesh hung off the skull, which seemed to have shrunken and altered shape in some degree. It was as though the acid venom had somehow softened the bone, and the skull had been compressed so that it seemed elongated and much too thin for its body.
Oh, God! God!
Tilly took one look at it and rocked back and forth, lost in her own world. It proved fatal. The lizard's tongue flicked in an arc and caught Tilly around the head. It was rough, equipped with suction to grasp its prey. At such a speed and force, the tongue attached itself to her head and wouldn't let go. Her head was ripped from her shoulders and flew off into the storm, tossed by the currents in an irregular arc that carried it out of view. The wild swings of the dying lizard's tongue began to lessen, and it began to sink toward the earth. Underneath the throat, which was still spurting blood and gouts, Jack felt the lizard begin to tremble and sway. The clawed feet quivered in its death throes, churning up the mud pit its lifeblood had created. It was now or never. The head of the lizard began to drop, coming close to pushing Jack's head down, pitching him face first into the mud. The gap under the belly had closed. There was only one way out, under the jaws and past the arcing deadly tongue. Jack went for the narrowing gap, crouching low and pulling his feet from the bloody ground beneath him. He was still clutching the stinking, blood-stained knife that he'd pulled from the lizard's throat as he emerged into the open. After being sheltered from the storm by the bulk of the lizard's body, Jack was hit by the wind with a violence that pushed the air from his lungs.
Ah, shit!
He gulped down clouds of dirt that made him choke, but even this felt clean after the stench and blood. Ryan saw Jack emerge, blinded by the storm and the shower of blood that still stung his face. He could see that Jack was trying to avoid the thrashing tongue, but that his vision was impaired and his senses still adjusting to the change in conditions. The tongue was beginning another arc. It was slower now. It wouldn't rip Jack's head off as it had Tilly's, but the venom would still be enough to cause him considerable injury. The arc of the tongue would take it right across Jack's path, and there was no way that he could see it from the angle at which he was hit. Ryan didn't waste breath shouting. There was only one course of action open to him, and he took it. Breaking cover with a push of his powerful leg muscles, the one-eyed warrior propelled himself across the expanse of earth between cover and Jack. The albino was stumbling over loose rocks, his eyes still partially blinded by the dust and blood. Ryan felt his heart pound as he sprinted across the surface. His muscles ached as he pushed them against the resistance of the storm and the yielding earth, aiming for Jack as the albino stumbled, trying desperately to clear his vision. The tongue swished toward the albino teen, who unwittingly turned toward it.
Shit!
Ryan crashed into Jack, pushing him back into the earth with a pile-driving force. The lizard's tongue flicked over their heads, reaching the apex of its arc, before sliding back across them as Ryan pushed himself into the soil, regardless of the albino beneath him. He could smell the creature's blood on Jack as he crushed his face into the youth's hair. A solitary drop of venom dripped from the end of the tongue and dropped onto Ryan's back, burning a small hole through his jacket and shirt, corrosive on his skin, and burning a spot on his flesh.
Shit!
The creature now lay on the ground, twitching violently as the last motor functions ceased to operate and the final sparks of life were extinguished. Ryan picked himself up, flexing his back muscles and feeling the raw spot of flesh throb. He'd have to get Mildred to look at that later. He reached down and held out a hand to Jack, helping the albino to his feet.
Oh, you, Ryan.
Oh, you, Fireblast. You chilled that bastard and saved us all.
Ryan and Jack returned to the main party. Mac and his two mute assistants were holding their blasters casually across them, not trained on any of the companions.
Guess I'm maybe not as suspicious as Tilly was. Whitey there risked a lot to save us.
How come you don't know how to fight against those things?
Son, you tell me how you're supposed to beat a mutie like that. Whitey risked everything, and let's be honest, he wouldn't have stood a chance if the fucker hadn't been busy chilling Todd.
Woman took attention away, too.
More important, is there anything else like that out there?
Few weird things. Don't see them that much.